Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Welcome. This is New Creation Christian Center's live stream for April 19th, 2020. My name is Harold Franklin, as you all know, pastor at New Creation. And so tonight I'm going to start a series on according to your faith. So we're going to talk about different levels of faith, how we get faith, what faith does, and all those things. And so let's pray and ask God to speak to us as we open this lesson up. So Father, we thank you first of all for your word, because it's with your word, it's through your word that we understand truth, we understand life, and we understand the things that pertain unto life and godliness. So Father, I pray for you to speak to us by your spirit. Use my mouth, use my examples, use the things that you've given me tonight to bring light and clarity to those that are listening. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said amen. So we're talking about according to your faith. And so the first thing we want to talk about or figure out is what we mean by faith, because the Bible speaks about faith in different ways. So the first example of faith, I want to go to Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Jude is only one chapter, so that's easy to find. And in Jude, we see this phrase. It's, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Now here we see Jude talking about the faith. And what he's talking about is the faith that covers all of Christendom. So the things that we believe that make up the Christian faith. For instance, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, the sinless life, that Jesus died for the sins of all humanity, and that he rose from the dead, which is an essential of the faith. That's what he's talking about when he said he earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So that is the faith. So that's the general faith. And then there's the specific faith, or the personal faith, if you will. And the personal faith is the faith that comes from our relationship with God, that causes us to trust him and causes him to work in our lives on an individual and a group basis. In other words, faith is the thing that we use in order to see God move in our lives. We know that Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the personal faith. We have to have a personal faith to believe in God so that he can do the things that need to be done in our day-to-day life. Amen? So when we're looking at these things, the other thing we have to observe is that not everybody has the same level of faith. There's some people that have a little faith. Now, the interesting thing about it is the Bible says all you need is a little faith. Jesus said, if you had a grain of mustard, if your faith was as a grain of mustard seed, you could do many things. In that particular passage, he says, you could speak to this mountain and it would obey you. And then he said, and nothing by any means will be impossible for you. So there, you don't need a lot of faith, but the interesting thing about it is sometimes we don't even have enough faith to get the answers to prayer that we need from God. So I want to talk about that, but we'll get into that a little later as we get into the series. But the next thing I want to talk about is where we get faith from. Now, there's a passage of scripture that most of us know. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So let's go there real quickly. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And it says here, so faith, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the first thing we see is that faith comes from hearing what the Bible says, or if it's not just in the Bible, faith comes, if you go back to the patriarchs, faith literally came from hearing what God said to them and then acting and believing on it. But then there's another aspect of faith that sometimes we don't always consider, but we always read it. And so let's go to James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. So James 2, 14 through 26. And it says this, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see that then faith, a man is justified by works, not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by her works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, I want to say something, because there sometimes this confuses people. The Bible talks about we are saved by grace, and that is through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So a lot of people get this passage and that passage mixed up. You don't do anything to earn salvation. Jesus did it all. All you do is believe in the finished work that Jesus did. But once you believe in the finished work of Jesus, in other words, once you've accepted that he died for your sins, that he now has given you a new creation lifestyle, given you a new creation heart, he's given you a new heart, a new spirit, a new mind, then you have to then live, which is the work part, as you have been born again. In other words, you have to live like the new creation that he's made you to be. So if you only said, yes, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead for my eternal salvation, and then you turn around and then you don't live like you believe that, then your faith doesn't have any corresponding action to go with what you say you believe. That's what we call people that are hypocrites. Hypocrites' lifestyles don't match their words. And so as we believe in what God has told us, we have to have action. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But then next, faith is solidified or grows as you act out the faith that God has given you, or the word that he has given you. And so he uses Abraham, and we'll get to Abraham later on maybe. Abraham was told that he was going to have a child. Now, he could have believed this. God is, it's all things. God can do all things. God can do all things. But if he never take a step to believe it by acting out, in other words, him and his wife coming together to have a child, his faith would have been dead because he would have not had the proof that God would heal his body. He could have been like most of us. We have this kind of faith. Well, I believe God can do anything. But then you ask yourself specifically, well, do you think God can heal your body? Well, I don't know if he wants to. Well, if you believe that he can and he will, all you have to do is act on it and say, Lord, I believe it, and I'm going to believe that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. That's what I mean by different levels of faith. Many people believe that some things, but they don't get enough, let me put it this way, they don't have enough action to prove what they believe. They don't act on the thing that they say they believe. Now notice he says in this passage James that the devils believe and they tremble. Now that's funny because that tells us that even Satan has faith, but Satan doesn't have the actions to go with his faith. In other words, Satan can never be saved as far as we know. He has given up his right to being with God. He has exchanged his right for a kingdom that he wanted to the kingdom that God would have given him. So even though he knows God, I would even go beyond faith. Satan knows that God exists. He sees him on a regular basis. But it's not enough to get him to turn his life over to God. So people have different levels of faith. And we have to learn that everything is according to the faith that you have in what you believe God will do for you specifically. It is so important because so many people say that God can do anything, but when you put them to the test and ask them, will God do something for them, that's when they back down. That's when their faith all of a sudden is not strong enough to believe that God is able to do something for them in particular. So let's start this series by looking at our forefathers in the faith. And that's going to be Adam and Eve. So we're going to go to chapter 3 of Genesis 1 through 7. And we're going to look at what happened with these two people. Now, all of us know this story. Well, I shouldn't say all of us. Most of us know the story of Genesis. For those of us, some of us are still haven't gotten to Genesis and haven't gotten to the Old Testament, and that's okay. But I think most of us know the story of the fall of Adam and Eve. So let's look at chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, and let's see what faith, level of faith Adam and Eve had. So now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, this could say spirit as well, but the serpent, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat in your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave it to her husband and with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. So let's look at the level of faith of Adam and Eve, because this is where it all begins. The first thing we know that God has spoken a word to Adam, and also Adam told that same word to Eve, because according to the creation account, Adam was there. God told Adam, and then Eve knew about it, so obviously Adam told Eve. So the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. That is the word that God spoke. The faith was that we have to believe the word that he said, and therefore act as if we believe it. Amen? Now, the only problem was there was this guy called the serpent who wanted to cast doubt on what God had said. And so he says to Eve, you won't surely die, but you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so she said, okay, well, God says this, and the serpent says this, and so I'm going to try what this serpent guy, and the interesting thing about the Bible doesn't tell us about this. The Bible doesn't tell us that God told them about this. There's this guy out there, his name is Lucifer, and he's going to deceive you. God didn't deal with the devil. And let me say this, and he never deals with the devil unless he has to cast him out. He doesn't warn you to stay away. Well, no, he has warned us because now we have to know. But he didn't warn Adam and Eve about the devil. All he needed them to do was believe him, trust him, do what he said, and he would bless them. But they didn't take him at his word, so their faith level was taken down. It's just like the parables of the sower. The word was sown in their hearts, and the Bible says, and immediately the devil comes and he steals the word out of them. They knew what God said. God was reliable. He was dependable, but they trusted the serpent who came to steal that word out of their hearts. And so as a result, the level of their faith may have been high at one point, but it came down and they got to the place where they did not even believe what God said to them. They trusted, or as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, they leaned on their own understanding instead of trusting in the Lord with all their heart. And as a result, we all know the result, they fell into sin and they pulled the whole of the human race into sin with them. So you see, they heard the word. They had a perfect existence. Adam and Eve weren't going to have any problems had they done what God said. They were perfect people. They didn't have any sin. They didn't have any baggage. They didn't have a past. They didn't have somebody calling them bad names they had to get over. They were sinless, perfect, but yet and still, they didn't have the faith that caused them to respond to the word that Jesus or God had spoken to them in the garden, which was, don't eat from the tree or you're going to die. And see, this is how we are. So many of us hear the word of God. We hear so many sermons now, we can't even keep up with all of them. And then we get into crisis situations and we don't have enough faith in the sermons that we've heard to carry us from one point to the next. And this is what it means by according to your faith. See, it's so important to understand that we're not going to be able to do the things God tells us to do unless we believe what he's already told us to do. And as we believe what he's told us to do, and not only believe it, but like James says, we act on it, then we will see our faith begin to progress and get stronger. The more you do what God says for you to do, and the more you see God answer according to what he said he was going to do, the more faith you have to carry you to the next, through the next trial. And so as we open this passage up, as we open this message up about according to your faith, I want us to think about what is it that God has spoken to us or promised us or given to us that we are not taking heed to or that we're not responding to. What is it that God has given us? What word has he given us that we have kind of put out on the shelf there and not allowed it to germinate in our hearts to generate the actions that we need to take in order to see it come to pass? And so as we see the different things in the Bible and we see the different words spoken to people, we're going to see the different levels of different people's faith. Adam and Eve did not pass the faith test. But there's others in the scriptures that did pass the test. So we're going to look at some that didn't pass, and we're going to look at some that did pass. But we're just going to introduce it tonight, but we will pick it up next week. And I want you to concentrate on according to your faith. This is the passage I'm using is Matthew 9:29, where Jesus says, according to your faith, let it be unto you. And so we're going to unfold some of these things. And so we're going to look at all kinds of situations and circumstances in people's lives where they had to act on the word that God gave them. Amen. So be ready, get ready. We're going to go through this. And so this is just the beginning. So we're going to pick it up next week. So Father, we thank you for opening this message up to us tonight. We pray, Lord God, that you would teach us how to have the kind of faith that not only believes what you say, but then acts upon what you told us, tell us to do. And so, Lord, I pray for us to remember that you have given us many, many promises as your people that carry us through all sorts of temptation, all sorts of trials. You said, be of good cheer that we will overcome the world. You said, let us cast our cares upon you because you care for us. You said you would keep us in perfect peace whose mind it stays on you. Lord, help us to believe that we will get peace if we keep our mind stayed on you, and then help us to keep our mind stayed on you so that we could see that your word is true. Lord, it's just that simple. I know it can be complicated because there's so many things fighting for our attention, so many things trying to distract us. But Lord, if we keep our minds on you, think about your goodness, think about what you've done for us, we can keep our minds in perfect peace. So thank you, Lord God. Thank you for this time. We pray for those that are listening or watching this, and we ask that you would touch their hearts. Lord, don't bring condemnation. Lord, if we failed in our faith in the past, we ask that you would forgive us. Give us another chance. Help us to get back on our feet. You said in your word that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up every time. So Lord, get us up in our faith so that we can walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this night. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you next week. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.